Glory. We have seen His glory in the midst of this body as God has been doing many different special things, healing people, touching lives, bringing people to faith. And often as Dennis and Diane are leaving, that's their testimony of having been in the midst of this congregation as they have discovered Christ to be their Savior, their Lord, their wonderful Master, and they leave going to other parts of the world sharing that wonderful story. We celebrate news this morning that we often take for granted. I know for many of us it's a regular habit to come to church weekly, but it's good for us to pause every so often and remember what it is we really celebrate. We are not just going through some religious tradition here. We're not just going through a custom this morning as we celebrate the Last Supper or as we sing songs and take an offering and hear a sermon. Dear friends, we are gazing upon the glory of God when we look into the face of Jesus Christ. We are encountering the one who created this universe. We are the one who has participated or been the prime and only way for us to come into relationship with the true and living God. And this morning we come to one of the names of God, one of the names and titles of Jesus that puts that in perspective again. In Malachi chapter 3:1, we are told that, or we are promised that the messenger of the covenant would come and that would bring to us the fullness of the covenant of God. Now, how many of you have ever been involved in a contractual arrangement? Perhaps some of you are over here with your companies. You have a contract. You sign for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever. Whether it's your business or a mortgage on a house or payment on a vehicle, or how many of you have ever entered into any kind of a contractual arrangement? Any of you, can I see your hands? Okay, well, a contract is something whereby two parties make an agreement. Basically, if you do this, I will do this. Or you must do this in order for me to do this. That's a conditional contract or a conditional covenant. And some of those are in the Bible. God makes conditional arrangements, conditional covenants with people. And basically, He says, if you do this, then I will do this. If you obey my precepts, I will honor and bless you. If you disobey these principles and these commands and these laws, then you're going to reap the consequences. They're conditional. But there is also something in the Scripture known as unconditional covenants. And that is where it's nothing like a contract, where if you do this, I will do this. It is an unconditional arrangement whereby God makes a pledge to people that He will carry out something regardless of what we do. Now, how many of you would make an unconditional covenant to your employer, saying, I will work for you, I will give you the best years of my life, my best strength, my best energy, regardless of what you pay me, regardless of where you send me, regardless of how much you demand of me? How many of you would do that? I didn't think so. We're not into making unconditional covenants. It's not our nature. But dear friends, hear me this morning. It is the nature of God. God has bound Himself by oath. He has committed Himself to a course of action throughout human history, and He has promised that He will never veer off that course of action. And that course of action is to provide you and me and human beings everywhere with access into His very presence. He has promised He would make that available to us, and He said He would never stop that process. It's an unconditional covenant. I don't know about you, but that kind of excites me. If you go to Malachi chapter 3, you see those words again. They're right near the end of the Old Testament. Malachi 3:1, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. I think that's a reference to John the Baptist. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. While I was in high school and after I finished high school for a couple years, I worked with my father in a sewing machine business. And one of the things that he used to do every year as part of the summer fair, is he would have a drawing for a sewing machine and cabinet, the top model with a top model cabinet. Back in those days, it was worth I think about $1,800. Now I've lost track of what sewing machines cost now. But it was a big ticket item. And so everybody would come by the booth at the exhibition and they would fill up these forms and put them in. And then we would televise the drawing of it at the end of the week. And he chose me to be the one to draw out this ticket and to read the name. And I got to read that lady's name who won the prize, and then I got to go to her house and deliver the machine and the cabinet. I was the messenger of a promise that my father had made. And it gave me great joy to be able to go to that woman's house and see her ecstatic as we brought in this sewing machine and this cabinet. Now you may say, pretty, why would she get so excited about something so simple? Well, she was. I remember she was so thrilled. I had the joy of being, in a sense, a covenant messenger. My dad had made a promise publicly that he would give a certain thing to somebody, and I got to present that message. God says in His Word that there was coming a time, He says in Malachi, that the Lord would be coming, and one of His names would be Covenant Messenger. He would be the one who would proclaim and who would deliver on the covenant of God. He would let us know about it. He would actually bring it to our house, if you will, and install it in our lives. We know His name is Jesus. Listen to some of these scriptures. We think of this covenant. There are so many promises in the Old Testament that relate to this covenant. They're intertwined, and we can't begin to cover them all. But the primary ones have to do with the removal of our sin and the restoration of our relationship with God. All over the world, people form religions and practices and strategies for how to accomplish that. But God knows that humans can't do that, and so He designed the process Himself. Back in Jeremiah, God says, or through the prophet Jeremiah, He says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law on their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." I don't know about you, friends, but that excites me. You know why? Because I've got sins in my past. I did things in my youth and in my middle age, even up to today, that I'm very ashamed of. I have sinned in thought, in word, in action. Anybody identify with me? About half of you. I think all of us identify. Part of the covenant of God is that He was setting up a strategy whereby He would deal with my sin, remove it so entirely that He would not even remember it anymore. My sin would be so far buried as if it was in the depths of the sea, completely removed as far as the east is from the west, that it would be no more barrier between me and Him. Talk about a deal. Talk about a covenant. And I say, well, Lord, what do I have to do for this? Do I have to go to church once a week? Do I have to pray five times a day? Do I have to crawl on my knees and beg for grace? Do I have to feed the poor? Do I have to do all these kind of... What do I have to do to win this kind of favor? Now, here are the news, friends. God says on this account, this is not a conditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. It is something that I am binding myself to do for you. Not because of what you can provide for me, but because of my love for you. We know from Scripture that in order to accomplish that, God came to this earth in flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived 100% pure, without sin Himself. And then He went to the cross of Calvary, and willingly, indeed, joyfully, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured that cross. He took upon Himself the shame. He took upon Himself your sin and mine, and He died for it. And in His death, in His life and in His death and His resurrection, He, like, in a much better way than I did as a kid, ran to the woman's house and said, "You're the winner. I've got this for you." On that cross, Jesus opened up His arms wide open and He said, "My children, I've brought you the covenant of God. I have brought you the forgiveness of sin. I have opened up a way for you to walk into the very throne room of God and enjoy eternal fellowship." I don't know about you, but that makes my heart want to sing. Hallelujah. But dear friends, we need to realize that that covenant didn't come cheap. The lady that I took the sewing machine to was thrilled and excited, and she enjoyed it many days after that. But she had to remember that it had been paid for. She didn't pay for it, but somebody did. Our sins have been paid for, dear friends. The access has been made open for us between us and God. But it's not cheap. It has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is now possible not just to go through a religious motion where we follow a code of ethics written on stone somewhere, or in a journal or in a holy book. Part of the covenant, dear friends, is that God will write His very laws on our heart and on our mind, and so transform us from the inside out that we are no longer caught in a religious system whereby we have to do all this to win God's favor. The wonder of the new covenant is that God has provided it so that when I merely accept what He has provided for me, He transforms me from the inside out and makes me from the inside out want to live according to His precepts. That's the miracle of the new covenant. God makes people brand new. He transforms us from the inside out, and it's all a gift of grace because of what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Listen to these words from the book of Hebrews. We usually say these words as a benediction in a service. Hebrews 13:20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Jesus Christ comes, He announces the covenant of God. He doesn't just announce it, He delivers it. And in delivering it, He brings it into our life. The question is, will we receive it and will we use it? We checked on that lady a number of years later to see how she was enjoying her sewing machine and cabinet. She was still excited. She had taken sewing lessons and was using it all the time and was very thrilled. The fact that God has provided us with the covenant, dear friends, does not necessarily mean that everybody automatically has it. We must open the door, allow Him to bring it in, and then cherish and use the covenant that He's given us. But this morning we're here to celebrate. Jesus is the covenant messenger. He is announced, delivered, and installed the covenant of God. Praise the Lord. I invite you this morning to the Lord's table where we celebrate that covenant, where we celebrate God's unconditional commitment to us to draw us into His fellowship, if we will but cooperate with Him, if we will but receive Him. I'll ask the communion stewards to come and join us at this time. Open to all people who have received the unconditional covenant of Jesus Christ. For those who have accepted it, for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and want to say thank You for what You have done for me. As the bread is passed this morning, I encourage you to, as you listen to the words that are sung, to take time to think about all that is yours in Jesus Christ. All that you have because of what He has delivered to us through Jesus Christ. Take a piece of bread, keep it till we've all been served, and then we will participate after that.